Have you ever been in a conversation with someone who just won't stop talking? And the longer they go, the less they're actually saying. The world has this idea that more words mean more weight. The more someone talks, the smarter they must be. On November 19th, 1863, at the dedication of Soldiers National Cemetery in Gettysburg, Edward Everett was the featured orator. He gave the main address, which lasted about 2 hours. President Lincoln was only asked to give a few appropriate remarks, and his Gettysburg address lasted about 2 minutes. Now, Everett's speech was respected. He wasn't careless or foolish in what he said, but Lincoln's fewer words were so much more powerful that they became the famous part of that day. Everett himself knew it. The next day, he wrote Lincoln and said, "I should be glad if I could ever flatter myself that I came as near to the central idea of the occasion in 2 hours as you did in 2 minutes." 2 hours versus 2 minutes, and the 2 minutes won. The point is simple. Fewer words, when they're thoughtful and sincere, carry far more weight than many. And this isn't just a historical observation. Let's turn to Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10 and verse 19. Proverbs 10 verse 19. "In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." The more words we use, the easier it becomes to speak carelessly, to exaggerate, to speak out of pride, to blurt something emotional, to say something we wish we could take back. When words multiply, sin is not far behind. But the one who holds back, that's the wise one. Restraint isn't just a personality trait, it's wisdom. And you can watch this play out in real life. From time to time, I had to conduct job interviews as a hiring manager. And I found consistently that the candidates who talk the most and have the longest resumes tend to be the weakest. In retrospect, some of the worst hires I've had were from people who had a lot to say, but didn't say much. Conversely, some of the best hires were from people that came in and had short, concise answers. Those are usually the ones you want on your team. You can tell almost immediately the ones who try to compensate for their lack of an answer with volume of speech. I see it at work too. We have daily stand-ups and a team meeting every Monday. And there's this one team member who is definitely a man of few words. And the funny thing is, everyone loves that about him. When he does say something, it's usually funnier because it's unexpected. And when he speaks up in a meeting, people actually listen because we all know he's not going to say anything unless he actually needs to. His words carry more weight precisely because there are fewer of them. It's like any rare commodity. Something becomes more valuable when there's less of it. Words are the same way. Fill up every silence with noise and the words lose their value, but say a few things that really mean something, and that's worth a lot more. So if the danger is clear that many words invite trouble, the question is, how do we avoid it? So let's turn to James 1. James 1 and verse 19. James 1 verse 19. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." There's the pattern. Listen eagerly, speak carefully, and don't react out of emotion. You see the opposite of this all the time. Somebody's making a point, the other person isn't even listening. They're just waiting for their turn, cooking up their response based on emotion of what they're hearing, and then they ramble. But the wise approach, actually listen, take it in, and then speak carefully. This is where it gets personal for me because I know I'm guilty of this. I'm prone to hearing something or hastily reading something and then forming this verbose response before I've taken the time to fully digest. I catch myself doing this from time to time, and almost every instance, my initial gut response was incorrect and would have resulted in confusion or possibly an argument. I do freelance video editing on the side, and sometimes I'll get feedback from a client or even at my regular job comments on something I've been working on. So picture this. I spent 5 or 6 hours on a piece of content, a video, a graphic, and they come back and say, actually, we don't like it, or can you redo this part? And my gut reaction is to fire back. I want to explain myself, justify the work, push back. Even if I don't lash out, just being verbose in my response, over-explaining, defending, it usually makes things worse. I found over the years that it works out so much better when I don't respond immediately. I just keep the response short, take a deep breath, be concise. Not only does it get a better reaction from the other person, but I also don't get that sinking feeling after I hit send that, oh no, what did I just say? I'm not sitting there anxiously waiting for their follow-up to my follow-up. A few calm words and I move on. You can put this in your notes, but James 3 verse 8 says plainly, the tongue can no man tame. The lasting solution is not trying harder, it's going to God, humbling ourselves, asking him to change what is at the source. Because as Christ said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's in Matthew 12, verse 34. Change the heart and the words follow. A wise person isn't the fastest talker, they're the best listener. Restraint starts with putting listening before speaking. But this goes even deeper than how we talk to each other. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes 5. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 2. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. For a dream comes through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. Now we're past just human conversation. This is about who we're speaking before. God is in heaven. We are on earth. Let our words be few. That is a direct command. Now, does that mean God wants short prayers? Not exactly. The warning here is against rashness. The hasty, thoughtless heart that fills God's presence with noise. As Mr. Armstrong wrote in The Plain Truth, August 1978, never have I received an answer before God except when I prayed earnestly from the heart. I have never known a real answer coming from God of a casual routine prayer. Daniel's prayer in Daniel 9 went on for 17 verses, and God dispatched an angel before it even finished. David cried out to God in the 51st Psalm with his whole broken heart. These were not brief prayers, but every word meant something. The real measure is not minutes, it's in meaning. Christ himself addressed this in Matthew 6 verse 7, you can just put that in your notes, but he said, but when we pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Vain repetitions, saying the same things over and over, thinking God will be more impressed because we talked longer. It goes back to the world's idea that more is better, when the truth is a few words from the heart that actually mean something is what is valued. God said it plainly when he corrected Israel for indifferent prayer. This is the Moffat translation of Hosea 7 verse 14. They never put their heart into their prayers. The warning is the same for anyone who talks to God without really meaning it. So what does focused prayer look like? Look at Elijah on Mount Carmel. The prophets of Baal had been crying out to their God all day, from morning to evening, shouting, cutting themselves, carrying on, hours of noise. Then Elijah steps up and prays in 1 Kings 18, 36-37. I'll just read it for you. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. That's it. Two verses, and fire came down from heaven. Mr. Armstrong took notice of that. In the autobiography, he describes a time where he and Mrs. Armstrong were destitute. No food, no fuel for heat, and his wife seriously ill. He'd been fasting and praying, not for those things, but to understand why God wasn't answering his prayers. When he finally saw the issue, that he'd let his heart drift from God, he prayed what he described as a brief prayer, not much longer than Elijah's. He asked God to heal his wife, send food, send fuel, send money for the hospital bill, and then he said something remarkable. You know what I need before I ask, and you have promised to supply every need, so I ask you to supply whatever else I need. He thanked God, got up, and went to greet his parents, who had just arrived. His father had removed the back seat of his car and filled it with wood. His mother had a big cooked dinner ready to be warmed. And the next morning, his wife's cheeks were rosy red, and the doctor couldn't believe it. Every request answered. And things he didn't even think to ask for started showing up the same week. A brief, earnest, faith-filled prayer, few words, and astounding answers. He didn't ramble for an hour. He meant two sentences, and God answered everything. A fool is known not just by what he says, but by how much he cannot stop saying it. The world trains us to think constant talking is strength, that if we keep explaining, reacting, and filling every silence, we'll seem more intelligent, more persuasive, more important. But God says otherwise. Restraint is wisdom. Few words, when they are thoughtful and sincere, carry far more weight than a flood of careless speech. So let's listen more carefully, speak more deliberately, and pray more sincerely. Let our words be chosen with purpose, because before both man and God, wisdom is not shown by saying more, but by knowing when enough has been said.